There's no mom manual. We all know that. So this is the place you want to be. To laugh, to learn, to share, to join. The moms couldn't be more different, but best friends, partners, and now family. Melissa is happily married.
Denise is happily divorced.
And they're parenting
worlds apart.
Their thoughts on many things, complete opposite.
Complete opposite.
Grab your friends and join the moms. Here's Denise and Melissa.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. I'm Denise Albert. Melissa is off with her mom in St. Louis and with her family, and I am here in New York. And today's my mom's birthday. And so we say there's no manual, but I did learn so much from her. And so I just want to wish my mom, who's my everything. She's our attorney. She's my editor. She is my kid's second mother. And so happy birthday to my mom. And if you have a mom, you know, I feel like I'm lucky every day. So I think it's a great message to really celebrate your mom every day. So that we'll start there. We are going to be joined on the show today by Melissa Francis. She is a Fox News anchor, and she is the author of Lessons from the Prairie. And you also may know her as one of the stars of Little House on the Prairie. So the book is really lessons that she learned from Michael Landon, who was an incredible man by all accounts from everything I've read. And she learned so many great things that she has used in her life transitioning from television. Now she's a news anchor and mom of three. And so Melissa will be joining us on the show. And we are brought to you today by Go-Go Squeeze, which I feel like my kids have grown up on. If I go anywhere, I always have them in my bag because it's healthy and my kids like them. And they are made entirely of all natural 100% fruit with no artificial anything, just orchard fresh apples and other wholesome fruit. Not only parents like us get it, but even the kids today get it. They are smarter about healthy foods and will often choose a great tasting, good for them option instead of the snacks we think they might choose. They have over 14 great tasting varieties like apple, apple banana, and apple raspberry lemon twist. Just calling it applesauce doesn't begin to describe it. Or the fruit and veggie blends like mighty mango with apple, mango and butternut squash is a great choice. They all taste great and the kids love them. The best part is that Go-Go Squeeze comes in a squeezable pouch so kids can enjoy them anytime, anywhere. And I am going to introduce you right away to Melissa Francis because she is so much fun, so cool, so real, and if we don't get right to her, I might start serving wine with her. Joining me now on this show today is Melissa Francis. She is, many of you may know her from back in the day, Little House on the Prairie. I have to say, I've watched you on Fox News for years. I've seen that you're also an author. You have a new book out called Lessons from the Prairie, and you also were the author of Diary of a Stage Mother's Daughter. And I never knew that you were on my favorite show. I mean, we all wanted to be part of the Ingalls family.
Well, you know, the hairdo is a giveaway because they used to dye my hair brown when I was... No, that's not true. I've since become a bleached blonde. I grew up in Southern California.
Right.
Eventually, everyone turns blonde. But yes, when I was on Little House on the Prairie, I was little brunette. I was one of the Ingalls. We were adopted, Jason Bateman and I, who I had a huge crush on.
And he's like the hugest thing again.
I know.
So cute.
He's amazing. And I had such a crush on him. He was my older brother. He was about 3 years older, and every scene where I got to like hold his hand because we were orphans and we were adopted by the Ingalls, Pa adopted us, I was just thrilled to death. Anytime I got to hug him, whatever, I was all about Jason Bateman. But
I have to say, I mean, we hear so many stories today about child actors, yeah, you know, going wrong and what, you know, everything that doesn't work.
Yeah.
And here you are, a successful, hardworking, college-educated mom of three, successful marriage from all appearances.
So far, so good.
Right.
Yes.
But so something went right.
You know, it's funny. I was talking to Melissa Gilbert about this not too long ago, and it was actually when I was on my first book tour. And we kind of came to the same conclusion. She was like, it's weird that no one from Little House ended up robbing a dry cleaner, holding up a bodega, going to rehab, all the stuff you hear about child actors. And we really traced it back to, and I wrote a lot about it in this book in particular, the work ethic that Michael Landon kind of drilled into us. I mean, he was like God and Santa Claus rolled into one. You would come, he was so dynamic. He was so charismatic. He was so fun. At lunchtime, he would have, you know, he'd turn to us and whip off that huge hat, and a tarantula would come walking down the front of his face that he had found outside and put it under his hat just to make us scream. Like, he would do crazy things. But when the camera rolled, he was dead serious. And, you know, we all had memories of maybe one time when you hadn't learned your lines or you didn't come ready to work, and he just got that serious, steely-eyed look. Didn't yell at us, but it was like he expected better of you. And you never wanted to let him down again. And it was a set that ran like a well-oiled machine. And it was different. I mean, I did more than 100 commercials. I was on 3 series, as in 3 movies. I did so many after-school specials. I mean, I worked steadily from the time I was 6 months old until I went off to college. So I had a basis for comparison. And this was really different. I mean, he picked people who were hard workers, but he also had such respect for everybody on the set. He didn't treat the stars like they were any better than the crew. Everybody was an equal. Everybody was a valued member who worked hard to get that show going. And we all felt it. We all felt the responsibility, and we all worked hard. And he rewarded people with like a decade of steady work, which, as you know, in Hollywood is very rare. It doesn't happen.
Right.
So you wanted to stay with him, and people worked hard for him. And it was just, it made a huge impression on me.
How do you think, or do you use what you learned from him in your work life now and in your family life?
Very true. I use it so much. And in fact, so many of those lessons, that's why it's called Lessons from the Prairie, is the lessons that I learned, that one I just talked about in particular, are things that shaped the way that I, you know, worked and lived going forward. And now, I mean, you know, you're in television, people treat people around them like garbage.
Yes.
I mean, they just act like super divas.
And we just expect it because we say, oh, we write it off. Oh, it's just a crazy industry.
Right. And you're like, no, that's not acceptable. And I've found, so even if you're a horrible person and you want to treat people badly, it backfires on you. People then, they don't help you when the prompter stops running or your hair is sticking straight up in the middle of a live shot. They won't come out and help you because you've treated them like garbage. And, you know, I realized, first of all, you're an awful person, so you should treat people well because you should. But then beyond that, like you have fewer headaches. You work better. Your whole workplace goes better. And it's a huge lesson I've learned. And I'm always shocked when I look around and I see, and I'm thinking of people in particular at Fox News, I won't say who are like abusive to the hair and makeup artists or abusive to the people in the studio. And
the people who are going to help you every day.
Right. Or not. Or not, based on how awful you are. So I don't know. I mean, that's one of the many things I learned. I learned to be grateful, you know, that good things come to an end and that you shouldn't count your paycheck today like it's going to be there forever and ever. And you have to have a backup plan and a backup to the backup to the backup. You got to have a lot of hustle, you know, and you have to have a family that you care about, because work can't be everything, because it will go away one day, and you need that support system around you. And those are a lot of the lessons that I learned.
I love what you say about a backup.
Yeah.
I talk to my kids, and I've been like publicly scrutinized when we've spoken to different celebrities at events, because I always say to my kids, you need to have, like, when somebody asks you, a child, what do you want to be when they grow up?
Yeah.
And they say, an NFL player or a basketball player. I'm the mom that says to my kids, and what else?
Yeah.
You know, not that I'm not supportive, but it's good to have a lot of things that you like, that you practice, that you're good at, because most people in this world, it's just reality, aren't going to be an NBA star.
No, it's so true. I mean, I had other friends in college whose moms had told them something very similar. I had one friend, she swore it was a Jewish thing. I don't know if this is true. I'm not Jewish. She said her mother always told her that it is wonderful if you have a husband who's supporting you and providing for you, but you need to know what you would do if all of that went away in the blink of an eye, because it is your responsibility as a mom to take care of your children and to feed them. And God love you if you have someone to do that for you, but you need to know what you're going to do. You have to always have in the back of your head. And maybe that's a skill. Maybe that's you have a law degree or whatever. I mean, whatever you could possibly do, you have to know what you would do. And by the way, I mean, one of the things that I learned from Michael, by the way he treated everyone on the set with equal respect, is that everybody who earns a paycheck, every paycheck has dignity and deserves respect. And I waited tables. You know, I worked in that when I was, I talk about this in the book too.
When did you wait tables?
So this was after, it was during college and after college, I knew that I wanted to go into news, and I knew in order to do that, I needed to do unpaid internships. And my parents were not excited about supporting me in that because my mom basically was very controlling. And that's why my first book is called Diary of a Stage Mother's Daughter. You can tell from the title how that went. But she wanted me to come back to LA and act, and I didn't want to do that. And so I knew if I wanted to strike out and try and be in news, I was going to have to do unpaid internships, and I wasn't going to get any help doing that. So I didn't have a lot of time to prepare for the summer, and I went down in the basement of my dorm at Harvard, and I chopped vegetables. There were no other students working down there, but it was the only thing I could find that late in the semester. And, you know, I worked there and to make money so that I could go away for the summer. And I remember one time, you know, I came upstairs and I was wearing the uniform that the cooks wear, you know, the plaid pants, the checked pants. And this one other student looked at me and you could see it register in her eyes with horror. Why I was wearing that outfit and what I had done. And she's like, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Oh, you know, making your lunch, ha ha ha." You know, and she said, "Why?" And I explained that I wanted to do this internship and my parents weren't going to support me. And she just looked at me with such scorn and was sort of like, "Wow, I would never do that." And I thought to myself, you know what? You wouldn't. Right. I know you wouldn't. And that's how much I want my dream.
By the way, I feel your parents did you a big favor.
Totally. Oh, definitely.
In not supporting it because it just made you push more.
Totally. And I lined up a better job for the next year knowing that I needed to save up money. And I knew that my first job in news was going to be minimum wage because news is horrible. And that I needed to save up money through my junior and senior year in college in order to have a cushion because I didn't want to admit to my parents that I was going to go take it. My first job was minimum wage, $6.10 an hour. I was in Maine and I was running the teleprompter and cutting tapes. I was an associate producer for the Noon Show.
And did you ever think, I could be back in LA on another TV show?
I thought all kinds of things. You know, I mean, I was the only one. I graduated from Harvard with a degree in economics. I was making $25 an hour my senior year managing a tech support team. I took a pay cut from $25 to $6.10 an hour to pursue this dream of news. I thought I was insane. I mean, A lot of people would say it is. Totally.
And how did you make the transition? So you're on the most popular show on television, and then you say, hey, I want to go to college and I'm going to go to Harvard. How does that happen?
You know, it was hard because so I was in acting all the way through. But by the time I was a teenager, especially 15, 16, 17, I started to not like acting. And I felt like to me, it wasn't authentic. I didn't want to pretend to be someone else. I didn't want to say someone else's words. I wanted to use my own thoughts and my own brain. And as a result, my heart was less in it. When I went on auditions, I got fewer and fewer roles and it really started to slip away and I was much less successful. And that was hard because I had always been successful. And all of a sudden this thing that I didn't want anymore was slipping away. And I'm like, oh, that feeling of panic. And I decided that I wanted to go away to college somewhere where I couldn't come home on the weekend and go on auditions. I couldn't have one foot in and one foot out, that I needed to go away and really decide for myself. I had been on TV since I was 6 months old. I did a Johnson & Johnson baby shampoo commercial. So I had no idea what life was like without this thing. And I thought I need to go away and really not have it. And either I'm going to be miserable and I'm going to want it back, or I'm going to feel free of it finally. So that's how I chose to go all the way across the country to Harvard. I mean, I had the Hollywood version of a tiger mom, which is a stage mother. So she had pushed me to perfection in everything I had ever done, including school. So I had the grades to go to some place like Harvard, which, you know, people say, well, you should thank her for that. And I do. Absolutely. I mean, there was a benefit and, you know, damage coming from being driven so hard for so long. But I did have the opportunity to go away to school. And, you know, it's funny. I would have to admit that obviously, after growing up on TV, I have a need for attention. I mean, I'm still in television, so obviously there's some part of my personality that still wants that. But to me, news was so different, especially what I do now. There's no prompter. You know, the only thing that's in prompter, it's like what you do.
You get to be you.
The beginning, you know, the introduction, the person's name, and then you're having a debate. You're pressing people. You're doing what you want to do. So to me, it's totally different because it's from my brain. And you know, I'm very authentic when I'm on the air. I think we've passed the day when journalists are arm's length and you pretend like you don't have an opinion about stuff.
Right, right.
That's just fake. People out there know we have Twitter, we have social media. You know we have opinions. You guys are too smart for that. I mean, people out there know that we feel one way or the other. So I'm upfront about where I'm coming from, but I back it with reason and knowledge and, you know, research and stuff. And then I can have a conversation and I'm just honest about what my opinions are. And I don't think that discredits me as a journalist.
And how do you talk to your kids about that? I think especially in the climate that we're living in today, I think a lot of kids have opinions.
Yeah, it's true. And they are, you know, I feel like they get in trouble at school for expressing any opinion of any type. And it's hard because I always tell them, don't talk about politics at school. Like, just don't talk about it with your friends, which is kind of, I mean, that's a terrible way to live. But it is so controversial today. And also, I mean, let's face it, I work for Fox News, you know, and I'm like, if you say anything, people are going to assume you got it from me. And it was really funny because we have a nanny, obviously, since I'm at work. Everybody knows somebody has to be there. I drop my kids off. I pick them up at the end of the day. But I have a 2-year-old. Somebody's watching her all day. And
it's okay to say that, by the way.
Right? I own it. Our nanny was very pro-Trump, even though she's an immigrant. I know. And she's now a citizen, but she immigrated to this country from the Philippines. So my middle son was going to school and he was pro-Trump and he kept telling people. And I was like, honey, first of all, I don't know where you heard that. I've not said that to you. And everybody's going to assume it's coming. It took me a while to realize it was coming from our nanny. Yes. And I was like, and she really felt like she had her reasons for her opinions. But it was just funny because it kind of really puts the kind of society that we're living in today that I'm trying to get him to be quiet because I don't want people to be mad at him.
Right, it's a hard thing. Right, yeah. It's very hard with kids these days.
Yeah.
What are some of the other lessons that you learned from the show and from Michael Landon that you use every day in your family life?
To be real. I mean, to be real.
I don't think you're in any danger of that.
Yeah, I mean, to be authentic. Like, I feel like you've got to own who you are. And when you try to be something you're not, people see through it. And they know you're a phony. And so it doesn't work anyway. But I also think it's things like, I mean, I drop my kids off at school and I look a mess. I mean, I get out of the shower. My hair is wet. I have no makeup on. I'm wearing my sweats, you know, my Lululemon pants like everybody else and my t-shirt. And I'm just a wreck. And later I'll be on a field trip and I'll walk in all foxified, having had a team of genies, you know, work on my hair and put on makeup. And I look nothing like my real self. And some poor mom will say to me on the field trip, oh my God, why do you always, you know, how do you look so perfect? Your hair is so perfect. And here I am. And I'm like, honey, please give yourself a break. Like, don't lean in, sit down, take a load off and have a glass of wine. Cause let me tell you, I didn't do any of this. And to illustrate that point, I always say that tell this story about one day I was dropping my kids off from at school and we were late because I had forgotten like their lunch or one of my children or my purse or whatever. We had to go back home. So I get to school and I'm signing them in late and we're like waiting into that line where you're the line of shame where you're standing in front of the desk to sign them in. So I said, look, I'm so sorry. You know, I'm late, you know, whatever, the dog ate one of my kids and I wasn't, you know, whatever. And so that Miss Rodriguez looks up at me and she goes, oh, and you're their aunt? And I was like,
oh, she didn't know.
Miss Rodriguez,
you.
It's me, Melissa. And she goes, oh, and she's horrified. Like, she recoils in horror because I look so awful. And I'm like, this is what I really look like. And the woman who comes at the end of the day to pick the kids up looks nothing like the woman who drops them off. And here, the woman working at the school legitimately thought I was someone else. And I tell people this so that they know, like, what you see on TV is not real. That is not how any of us look normally.
It's a lot of help.
We're not able to do it on our own. Like, there's a team of genies. There's people that drop clothes off in my office. The dress I have on right now, you guys can't see. I didn't pick it. I didn't buy it. It shows up.
And looks good. And then everyone thinks you have, like, this incredible, like, shopping style, right?
Nope, nothing. I couldn't find a dress for myself and my life depended on it. So I think one of the things I learned is to be real, to tell other people the truth. Because other people around you put up their guard higher. If you act like you're perfect when you're not, people just hate you. I mean, don't try and be Superwoman. No one likes Superwoman. She's a bitch. We can't stand her. Like, she's awful. I don't like Superwoman. She drives me crazy. She makes me feel awful about myself. Like, let's all be honest about where we are and what we do. And then we can help each other, share our faults, like help each other. Here's my secret for doing this. Here's what I do. Like, maybe this would help you too. You know, or whatever. And, you know, here's what I don't do. And gosh, here's the thing I screwed up yesterday and whatever. Like, I don't know.
Anyway, yeah, I get it. This is what we do also. Yeah. But yeah, I love it. I love your attitude. And I mean, really, I think you could be a stand-up comedian also. Just saying, if you ever want to go back to
I'd love to
the
be a comedy
stage,
writer. Yeah.
I think you'd be just fine. Backup plan. There you go. Right. Do you have mom friends from the school?
Yes. And yes.
And what's like your favorite family thing to do with them? And
most of it involves cocktails.
Good, in me general. Too.
Yeah.
Sorry, I would have had the wine out already. I took 2 days off. Feels
wow,
good.
That's a long time.
I know,
that's
right?
Cool. No, it was so funny. I got this call the other day from one mom who wanted to meet for drinks. And I was like, oh, great. My last show ends at 5. And she goes, oh, no, we're meeting at 3:30 before camp pickup. And she's like, it's hell after that. You got to have a drink before pickup. This is New York. None of us are driving. There's all taxis involved. It's very safe. But I was laughing because those are my mom friends. They're like the people where you're just basically like commiserating. You're doing, you know, I always find I'm saying to myself, I'm doing the best I can. I'm doing the best I can. And it's kind of sad that we're chanting that to ourselves because we do try. I love my kids so much. I don't want to make any mistakes. I want to do right by them all the time. But you can only do so much.
Okay, so now I want to ask you another question. Yeah. Because a lot of times working moms are asked the question, I am actually over it. But the whole balance question, everyone says you can't have balance. My answer to that is everyone's balance is different.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so I actually think like I have it all, right?
Yeah.
I do. Cause it wouldn't work for you, although I think we're a little bit alike, but it wouldn't work for someone else. But that's what works for me.
Yeah.
And by the way, like on one day, it may be one thing. Like I might not see my kids all day because I'm working or I'm doing something, you know, for me. And the next time I might be with them all day. That's my having it all.
Yeah.
What's your take on that?
So my take is I found the only way my system works is my work, my home, and my kids' school are all really close together. And that's like a conscious decision that we've made. So when I arrive at Fox in the morning, it is okay with them if I slip out and go and lunch mom or I go on a field trip. Like whatever time I'm not on the air is mine, but I can go check in at work and then go do my thing. I try not, my last show ends at 5. And I pick up my sons after that from whatever their after school activity is. And I try not to sign up for anything. That's where my boundary is with work. I'll work as hard as you want while they're at school all day long. And, you know, people will say, well, you're lucky you're at that point in your career. Yes, absolutely.
Well, you work really hard to get it to be that way.
But I turn down like early morning shows and nighttime shows because those are the bookends when I'm with my family and I'm able to sneak out and do things. You know, it's, I'm blessed to have financial resources. Yes. You know, that's true. Absolutely. But also I know myself that in the times when I haven't been working, I'm really unhappy. And I see that as a weakness, not a strength. You know, I need that outside validation. Not everyone needs that necessarily. And I don't think it's not necessarily good. You know, I wish I could be happy not doing something, but I think it's because I worked forever. Well, then maybe I could, you know, be at home and devote. I think stay-at-home moms have great value. And I think that's a great thing. I know I would myself couldn't do that.
I couldn't
and
either.
And I'm just too neurotic about working and stuff. But my kids appreciate, they also see, you know, my husband's mom has a very successful real estate business and she was a huge role model for me because she was a great mom and my husband feels like she was always there for them. But he had that role model of a strong mom who was able to be there, but who also had a really great career. And so he was never sort of afraid of that and he was always willing to be an equal partner. So he will skip and go on stuff, you know, and we really do divide things up and I'm blessed in that way too. So it's a lot of things have come together well. But to me, it's about the only way I can manage it is I have, here's my work time and I'm at Fox, but I can sneak out. One of my kids gets hurt. Boom. I'm out the door. 10 minutes. I'm at school. You know, I'm the on-call person and I can do that because
unless
proximity.
You're on the air.
Well, I've even run out in that, though. I mean, they're pretty understanding. Like, that has happened. And I'm like, David, you know, my co-anchor, you've got to take this. Or I've said, my son just fell. You know, I have to go. This actually happened a couple months ago. My son fell in the park, and they sent me a picture, and his head was cut open, and he needed stitches. And I
had
to show
your phone in front of you for a text.
And, yeah, right? I saw it, and I said, I have to go. And they were totally, I don't know who they scrambled that day to do the show, but they get it. You know, right. I mean, they for everything everyone's saying about Fox.
I was going to say that's the other side of Fox.
I know.
Right.
They're very supportive of working parents and they understand there's never been a time when I've said I have a field trip. I have a performance. I need to be covered. They've said, no, you can't. Like they've always, every single time said, yes, go. We'll cover it. So I don't know. I've like managed to find that balance.
Right.
That's how I do it. But you're right. Everybody has their own
Everyone's
thing that works
different.
For them. And no judgment.
Right.
Like what works for you. Great.
And have a glass of wine before pickup.
And have a glass if you're not driving. Right. Otherwise, have it right when you get home. So my favorite wine, it's called Mommy's Time Out. I can't believe I didn't bring you one. Okay, I'm sending one over. It's cheap Pinot Grigio, Mommy's Time Out. And I always joke and I'm like, have a glass of Mommy's Time Out. Sit down, take a load off. Don't lean in. In fact, sit down, take a load off.
I love that.
And have a glass of wine.
And by the way, I wanted to say before you go, there's so many funny things in the book. Like I said, you're like a natural comedian, but also serious things. And so for anybody that wants to read, I think you're really inspirational and have just really relatable lessons. The book is called Lessons from the Prairie. But I just wanted to touch on also, you have, I think in this day and age, we all have the modern family, right?
Yeah.
So I'm, as I say, happily divorced. I have a boyfriend with three kids. I have my two kids. You had a child by a surrogate.
Yes, we have a surrogate daughter. And that, yeah, you're right. There's a whole chapter about it in the book and about how it happened. And a lot of people are so curious about it because it is an unusual thing to do. And I have two boys that I carried myself, and I have a genetic blood defect that we didn't know about until the first one almost died on delivery. And that's really harrowing. That's in the book. It was a very harrowing experience. I got pregnant the second time. I was sick right away. And they realized that they had misdiagnosed what was wrong with me the first time. I have a defect called factor V Leiden, which is rare, but now I've met other people that have it since I started talking about it. It wasn't safe for me to have more kids. In fact, my doctor said to me, when I was deciding whether or not to have my tubes tied, she said, well, if you're thinking about getting pregnant again, your husband should rehearse the speech that he'll give to your sons when you die trying to have a third child, and he should rehearse how he'll tell them they weren't enough and mom's dead. And I was like, yikes. But she knew I am the kind of person who thinks I can soldier through anything. So she knew she had to be really tough with me.
Right.
So I had my tubes
Invincible.
Tied. Yeah. Yeah. I would be like, you know what? I can inject myself a blood thinner. I can make this work out. And she's like, why would you even risk it? Anyway, so with the third child, we had a surrogate family, I would say, because it was the whole family that gave birth to our daughter. And it was an incredible experience. People always want to ask me, do you feel different about your kids? You know, you have two that you had and another who, yes, you're all wondering. Even the taxi cab driver asked me, was it your egg? I was like, are you circumcised? You know, like, what a personal question, taxi cab driver. You want to know if that's my egg? It was. No, I mean, not that it matters. I would have done it with someone else's egg as well. But she is, you know,
she's
our
daughter.
She looks just like me. But yes, we had a surrogate, and it was an incredible journey. We're still very close with Brianna. That's her name. She gave me her permission. There's pictures in the book of her and her family and my family, and my daughter was such a blessing. And no, I don't feel any differently about her, but it was a bizarre experience. It was a blessing, but it's strange. You know, I mean, I how could it not be? But it was incredible. And we went through the whole thing. And even I was telling you before we started, the first person they matched us with tested positive for marijuana.
Right.
When we were, you know, getting ready to transfer the embryo. And we were like, are you kidding? Like,
right.
So
it's risky and it's scary at the same time.
It is. But they have they figured it out, at least in our area, how to make sure. I mean, there was a test that she failed. And that's how we knew. Couldn't believe that she would do that but that was the first person that we never saw again. The woman who did it for us and her whole family, I mean, she was incredible. It wasn't about money, and you have to read the story to understand that. She just felt, she's one of these selfless people who, she gained 19 pounds and our daughter was 10 pounds.
Right.
I mean,
wow.
Like she is, has a, it was, you
she's
know.
She's made to do these things.
It was very easy for her.
But I have to say, because I could honestly say, like, I hated being pregnant. I could not do that for
Mm-mm.
someone else.
No.
So the fact that somebody can is that's an incredible mom.
It's incredible. And she wanted to, you know, she was like, she had gone through the process to maybe do it for her own family member. And then her own family member decided she didn't want to do it. And so they had said to her when she went through the process, you know, there are so many families out there who are looking for someone. Would you be willing to do it for a stranger? And she was like, absolutely.
Wow.
And she just said it's something she could do. And to me, it's like people who serve in the military,
mm-hmm.
you know, where they just want, they feel compelled to do something they can for other people. And you never understand how can somebody be so generous. You know, my husband and I, we were so overwhelmed with gratitude and we were so humbled that someone would do this for us. It was an incredible journey. And if nothing else, read that chapter, because I answer all the questions that you have. Nothing with me, nothing's off limits. You know, I'm just one of those people. I let it all out there. I feel like we all are kind of crippled by our secrets. And I lived for a long time not sharing my past and what had happened with my original family, my mother, my sister who passed away. And for a long time, I never told any of those stories. And it is so liberating when you are real and honest. And you have to be okay with yourself. And I had a lot of therapy to get to a place where I'm okay with myself. But I'm just very honest about everything because it's liberating.
Right.
It's freeing.
No, I totally get it. I mean, I've lived my entire life that way, writing about my journeys too. Yeah. So I know how helpful it is to others and to myself. So I think what you're doing is really incredible and special. And I'm sure that there's moms out there listening that will say, oh, wow, I've been through that same thing. And it's really, really incredible. So Melissa, thank you so much for joining us.
I'm going to put all my contact information on your site and stuff because I love to hear from people, their questions or anything, what you think about the book. You know, people send their books to me at Fox. I'm happy to sign it and send it back to you. I'll pay the postage. We're at 1211 6th Avenue, 10036. Send it to me. Because I love to hear from people who read it and stuff.
Yeah.
And
Melissa Francis, everybody. And so you can find her book, Lessons from the Prairie, everywhere.
Everywhere.
And thank you for joining us. And we'll get a glass of wine soon.
Perfect. Let's do it.
Thanks again, Melissa Francis. Again, the book is called Lessons from the Prairie. And thank you so much for sharing your lessons with us. The Moms is also brought to you by the Texture app. It has gone beyond just delivering the magazine itself. They have made it easy to enjoy articles you want to read with daily recommendations, exclusive interactive features, videos, and more. Texture makes magazines easy, and there are so many great ones out there like People, Entertainment Weekly, and Vogue. Texture is normally $9.99 a month, and you get over 200 magazines. But if you sign up right now at texture.com/themoms, you get a 14-day free trial. Why subscribe to just a couple of magazines when you can have it all of your favorites on your smartphone or tablet all of the time for way less? And I have to say, the other night I was out with my boyfriend and my dad and his wife, and we were talking about magazines because my dad is like a reader. And I actually said to them in the middle of our dinner, wait, you have to see this app. And I pulled it up on my phone and they were completely blown away. And so I think we have some new subscribers for Texture because I was literally just like scrolling through. They had Sports Illustrated and incredible New York Magazine. And so I was scrolling through showing them that it actually looks just like a real magazine and less clutter in your home, right? So anyway, thank you to Texture for joining the Moms podcast. And I'm going to leave you all this week with just one little Moms Did Your Homework that really comes easy for me, and I'm very lucky, and I mentioned it a little bit at the beginning of the show, but today is my mom's birthday, and she's such a part of our lives in every way. Every day she's a part of my work, my children's lives, my social life, and so I just think it's really important to recognize people who are such a big part of your lives every day. Don't just wait for their birthday. You know, it's something that could change somebody's day if they're having a bad day. If you just send them an email, send them a text, pick up the phone and just say thank you, or let them know how much you appreciate them, or do something for them. It's so simple. The Moms Did Your Homework today is really just about recognizing people every day and not waiting for their birthday. So that is my advice for the moment, and I hope you all have a great week, and we will be back next week.